Thank you, Trevor. You know, I'm constantly amazed at how God is working in our lives at times we don't even know it and understand it. When Trevor came down and worked for me, I was in the middle of one of the hardest times of my life, a time that I didn't ever think that I'd have to go through. And I don't know. I can say a whole lot more about how much the Lord helped me through him being there, because unfortunately he had got to go through some of the things that I'd went through years before that. We spent a lot of hours sitting talking about Jesus and about the church and about life. And at home, on the way to work, on the way back to work, from work, during work sometimes. And the overall idea of our conversation in general was our amazement at the strength and power of God, and about how much he can be to us. And one thing Trevor always said to me, said, the task is as large as you want it to be, or as small as you want it to be. And I believe there's a lot of truth to that. God, in his infinite wisdom that sometimes I question when I shouldn't, has allowed us to be here and given us free agency. And that free agency has allowed for two things to be working constantly in this creation and existence that we are in. One of them is choice and decision. With this free agency, when we wake up in the morning, every day, all day long, we're making decisions what we're going to do. It may be a decision to do the same thing that we did the day before. We may be in a rut. We continue doing the same thing over and over and over. Or we may have a decision or a choice to make that's hard in life about something, because a circumstance has arose that has put us in a place that we have to go before God and pray and ask for guidance. And even after we ask for that guidance, we still have to choose to listen to that still small voice. And sometimes that still small voice is hard to hear if you haven't been listening to it. So many times we cry out to God in our times of trial and tribulation and say, where are you? What's going on? And the reason we have to do that is because we're not familiar with that still small voice. We haven't been abiding in him. We've allowed life to come and steal away the most precious thing that we have, is that wonderful guide of the Holy Spirit to lead us through each decision and choice that we have to make. You know, that's the basis of the word judgment when you look it up in the Greek and the Hebrew. It means choice or decision a lot of times. It also means verdict or sentence. Different variations as you look the word up and see what the word came from. And so God's designed this to be this way for his own wise purpose, that when we stand before him and our life's played back, there's not going to be any, it wasn't my fault, or it could have been different if it would have just been another way. It was all our choice. It was all the decision we made how to think and how to react to life each day and its circumstance. So this is the basic operation of our realm that we live in. But there's another purpose. Another device in this creation that God has put in order and operation for the outcome of something very, very special to Him. The bride, the Lamb's wife. I often wonder why it is that God wants my love. And I think sometimes, how can I love Him when He loved me so much that He humbled Himself to become like me in human form? And know what it was like to hurt and suffer, to be made fun of, to be spat upon, and to deal with all the things that He had to deal. And in all the things that He spoke and that He taught, the people listening and mocking Him or giving Him a hard time were usually the ones that should have been listening the most, that were in places of responsibility. They were the ones that persecuted Him most. The leaders, the ones that we're supposed to know better. Still yet, there were people that did, that would listen to the things that He said, as He told about, when He speaks about the parable of the sower. And one of the things that caught my attention as I was going through the storm in my life was when Jesus said, when persecution and tribulation arise for the word's sake. I'll never forget when that crossed my eyes and leaped out. And I had that revelation moment that the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And He said, Mike, this isn't about the situation. It's about My word being alive in you. From that time forth, as long as I would look and I wanted to remember, I remembered what Jesus spoke. And I remembered that I had a choice and decision when I was faced with a divorce that I thought I'd never go through, that I tried for a year to keep from happening, with losing my best friend years and years and years, who was there that whole time I was going through a divorce. Trevor, you're my best friend too. He'd call me and he'd check on me and say, Mike, how are you doing? I might be running the backhoe. I might be just waking up in the morning or before I went to bed at night. And he might call me every day for 2 or 3 days and then go for a couple of days, but he'd call me all the time I was going through those things, and he'd check on me. Are you all right? He'd stop and pray with me on the phone, and sometimes he'd just show up to see me. And at the close of going through that divorce, he got a virus. And in 2 weeks, he died. I thought the divorce was pretty tough. But I found myself before God Tell them I didn't think it was fair. It wasn't that he offered me so much strength because he was supporting me. It's because he loved me. And then shortly after that, I began to get phone calls because the economy was being bad, and the bank wanted me to get rid of all my equipment. It didn't make any difference that I was making the payments on it. They wanted out of all their heavy equipment loans. And I didn't go to any other banks to try to get a loan for any of it. I just kind of let things take their course and wound up losing the house that I'd built and all my equipment. And you know, during that whole time while you're going through this, I had choices and decisions to make each day about how I thought about all this. And I want to tell you that there's a lot of times that persecution was there, that I began to blame myself because of thoughts that were coming into my mind that it was my fault because I ever signed the loan notes. What did I do wrong? One of the things that triggered this whole situation happening with my ex-wife and I was we lost a grandson to SIDS in 2 weeks after he was born. The single hardest thing that I've ever had to do in my life was wait in another bedroom while my son and my daughter-in-law explained to my two granddaughters that their brother had passed, the brand new baby brother. That all sounds pretty gloom, doesn't it? But I got good news. That scripture that leaped out to me, that the Holy Spirit brought to my mind, I began to understand and see through the whole thing that it worked. That His Word, the things that Jesus taught and that He spoke and that we have written before us in the Bible in the Sermon on the Mount, and that Jesus came, and I know you've probably heard me, if any of you have heard me speak, I always mention this and I always say it because it is the foundation of who we are. It's the very outline of the image of Christ in us. It's this law written on the fleshy tables of our heart. A law that is greater than the old law that was given. A law that sets us free from feeling sorry for ourselves. A law that delivers us from trial and suffering and pain and all the things that we can see that happen bad in our life. When I went and I kneeled down when I was feeling bad, when I was thinking about Mike and I was looking at all the things that looked like they were bad that were happening and coming upon me, if I would make the choice to let that go and say, Father, here I am. Every time. He was right there. Every time that peace that passes understanding fell down from heaven. And I was never alone. I was never alone. When Ray, my friend, was gone, Trevor showed up. I saw Jesus in the face of so many people that listened to His Holy Spirit and that spoke what I needed to hear in my time of need. And Jesus was always there. When I made time to be by myself and be with Him, and I began to understand so many things that I thought that I knew before I went through these things. I thought before all these things happened that I understood about going into your closet and being alone with Him. But it began to be something that was completely new. Because before, when I did it, when I prayed and I said, "Here I am," I was doing it. And now it was different. It was different because I knew that I could not make it without Him. It was new because His Word began to be alive. The words on the papers and the Sermon on the Mount that He spoke, speaking about our heart and about our mind and about how we think and about who we are, they all become real. The revelation of the Holy Spirit began to show me who I was, who I thought I was before, and what I could be when I listened to Him and I let Him do it instead of me trying to do it. And so today, I got here this morning, and it was a tribulation again. I set the alarm to get up. I don't know how many of you know how far Goodman, Missouri is from here, but it's a long ways. And we didn't wake up. We woke up at 6:30. So we started on our way up here, and I set the GPS on the phone to get here, and we're wondering if we're going to make it on time. I thought, geez, maybe I'm not supposed to preach today. I wanted to come up to the conference and fully intended to do it, and things just kept happening and kept happening and kept happening with work and with things. I had to make a choice what to do. And so on the way up here, we kept seeing the clouds getting darker and darker and darker. And my wife, Cheryl, had taken the car and got the tires rotated and balanced because they were kind of thumping a little bit when we drove them. And so I was driving a lot better, but I noticed as I was changing the oil in the car last night that there wasn't hardly any tread left on the tires. And so when we hit the rain, we had a whole lot of real exciting moments when the car hydroplaned and it was kind of scooting all over the road, and Cheryl be looking down at her phone and she'd throw her arms up and we'd hang on and everything would be okay. But you know what, it was, we got here at 10 o'clock and life is just full of things that happen and that go on. And we were praying and prayed before we left that the Lord would watch over us. And there's so many things that we take for granted in our life every day. You know, our little kids, we get frustrated with them and think, I wish they'd just pay attention. I wish they'd be quiet and settle down. And sometimes I know the mothers get frustrated with them and the daddies get frustrated with them, and sometimes that frustration overcomes and you begin to say things and think things, and you let a circumstance arise that you do things you wish you hadn't of. But I want to tell you, when you lose a little grandson, you're way more patient with them, the ones that are there. You take those moments and you listen to them. and you begin to react in things of life that before you let overcome your heart. Things that seem so simple to us. You know, we look at sin and we can talk about sin and people in the world that are sinning and doing things wrong, and sometimes we even do things wrong ourselves, that we commit sin, and a lot of us do every day. But we're trying. We're trying to overcome for Christ's sake. And Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found into praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So when you're going through something and you're going through a situation, how many times we take prayer, what do we usually pray for? We pray for people that are going through trials and through situations. How many times do we say, Lord, help us to have trials and tribulation? That's not a good prayer to pray. But, you know, Paul, he had a thorn in his flesh and he was having a hard time. And he asked God several times to take away that thorn in his flesh. Three times. And Jesus finally spoke to him. I don't think Jesus always did speak to him exactly when things were going wrong or weren't going his way. I know Daniel prayed for, I think, 3 weeks to understand a dream that he had. God is not always on time like we would like for him to be. But it's for a reason. It's for a purpose. It's to try that word. Those precious things that Jesus taught and that he spoke, that he said, I don't say anything unless my Father tells me to say it. How important does that make, those red letters, if you have a red letter Bible? When he was with the Nephites, he said, the things that I have spoken to you after the Sermon on the Mount, this is the law that you'll keep. The Hebrew writer wrote and quoted out of Jeremiah and said, the days would come, not as the days of old, that they would say, every man his brother. He said, they'll write the law on the fleshy tables of their heart. You know, we are the church of the Lamb of God. And the day's going to come, probably very shortly. We've thought that for a long time. It might not come for a lot longer. I pray that it's not that way, because it seems like there's a cancer of subtleness that the enemy uses in his kingdom to destroy the Word of God and to take away our faith and bring about things happening that cause us to be caught up in life and forget about the seriousness of it. There's going to come a time when there's going to just be two churches, the church of the Lamb of God and the church of the devil. And Nephi wrote and said their numbers were few upon the face of the earth. But the next thing that he said, I want you to remember. And I want you to think about it every day in your choice of how you think. Because we may stand at the threshold of that time. And I hope we do. And the reason I say that is because I don't want it to keep going on and keep drawing out and see people that I love falling away. even becoming an atheist. It wears on us. And the reason it wears on us is because the only way it can is if we don't abide in him. And it says, Nephi wrote and said, I saw the church and their numbers were few, but they were armed with righteousness and the power of God and great glory. Are we there yet? Do you ask yourself? Do you examine yourself? Do you just wait when we have the sacrament to examine yourself? Or do you do like Paul said, I die daily, and I realize this is important. This is important that I have a place that I go and I kneel down, and I don't need somebody to hold my hand and go with me. I know how to enter into the Holy of Holies and come before the God of heaven and earth and examine myself and say, Lord, help me. Let your righteousness be born in me by the power of the Holy Spirit, because the laying on of the hands of the presbyter gave that gift to me that I hear your voice and that revelation works in my life, so it doesn't make any difference what tribulation or what trial comes or how it comes. I can walk in your presence and I can hear your voice because I love you. I keep your commandments and I worship you from my heart and spirit. And in truth, you know, some of the things that are the most precious, a lot of Christians that come and go from this world never understand how to do. And one of them is to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. You know, a man and a woman are different in a lot of different ways. A man shows his love in a different way to a woman than a woman shows her love to the man a lot of times. A woman wants to know that she is loved. She wants to know because she wants the man to hold her close. If for no other reason, to say, you mean a lot to me. Thank you for everything you are, for washing my clothes, for doing the dishes, for taking care of the kids. She loves to hear those things when they come from her heart. The way our Father loves to hear us come before him and say thank you for the very air that I breathe. Thank you for the opportunity that I have. Thank you for who you are, that I can't see you, but I believe it with all my heart. Teach me how to worship you. Teach me how to love you. Jesus finally came to Paul. And responded to his question about the thorn in his flesh. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. The Book of Mormon tells us that God gives men weaknesses, that he might show forth his strength. I've experienced that, and I know many of you have. And so when a trial comes, look at it like it's an opportunity to be refined in a fire and to come out like gold, because we have that story given to us that a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood in the fire. There was one with them. And when they looked in there, they said, looks like the Son of Man. What a beautiful picture of the stories that we have as Peter stepped out to walk on the water. and took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink because he looked at the waves. And we have these things taught and preached to us, and we live our life and go on, and yet sometimes when a tribulation comes or a trial happens, we say, woe is me. Instead of what Paul said after Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, then where is tribulation? Where is persecution? I finally get the picture. I finally understand that his grace in me is what he wants to see. Because you see, grace is a word that's so misunderstood. Grace is something when we see, we look at it, and we see the display of what it is. It's graceful, like a swan or something that's beautiful. It's the reflection. The Greek word says of manner or act, especially the divine influence or the reflection in your life. Paul, my reflection in you. When these people see what you're going through and they understand the magnitude of the situation, if you've got cancer, if you've got Parkinson's, if whatever happens and whatever goes on, we are on display to the world. They're watching to see if the word is going to be alive in us. They might feel sorry for us, and sometimes we'll feel sorry for ourselves. You know, there's an interesting story about a guy that was walking down a road, and he come to this man that was in a quagmire. He was stuck down in it, and he was deep in it, and he began to lash out at the guy that was walking on the road. He said, it must be nice to be up there walking on the road. I can't even get out of this hole. And I know you're not going to help me, just like the last guy didn't. Why don't you just go on and get out of here? The guy just kept right on walking. You know what? How are you going to help somebody like that? He came to the next hole. It was just like the one before it, and there's another guy in it. He was sitting there, and he was crying. And he said, look what I'm at. Look at the situation that I'm in. I mean, if you let a rope down here, I wouldn't even take a hold of it because I'm afraid I wouldn't get out. And he thought, I guess I'll just keep on going because that guy doesn't really want any help. All he's doing is looking at a situation that's around him, that's going on. And as he went on down the road, he came to the third hole that was a quagmire that there's a guy in, and he looked down at it, and the guy looked up and said, hey, how's it going today? And he said, okay. He says, looks like you're having a pretty good time walking down the road up there. And he said, yeah, I am. He said, well, I kind of had an unforeseen circumstance come on me here and everything, but, you know, it could be raining, and it's not raining. I'm glad it's not raining. And I just ate before I fell in this hole, too. I'm not really hungry. And the guy said it was on the road. You know what? Would you like me to help you out of there? He said, I'd sure appreciate it. It'd be nice. And you know what? If it winds up you can't get me out of here, if you just sit down here and talk to me for a little bit before you go on your way, I'd appreciate it. Man, we can be so much. So much with the image of Jesus in our countenance. We can have that righteousness and be armed with it, because that is the power of God, to be able to face any tribulation or circumstance in your life and say, I understand it now. This is an opportunity for me to rise up and display my Lord's righteousness to the world, because I don't have it myself. By myself, all I see is a problem. All I see is what lays before me, and I'll cry and feel sorry for myself. Boy. You know, in the Book of Mormon, it talks about the parable of the vineyard. last section of it troubles me. I don't understand it all completely. I've heard a lot of things talked about and said, this is what it means, or this is what it is. But there's one thing that I want to avoid. As a follower of Christ and being in his church, I don't want to be that place that he said, I'm ready to burn the whole thing with fire. It's not bearing fruit. The image that I'm looking for, this bride, the Lamb's wife, is not showing up. And the servant of the vineyard said, wait just a little bit longer. And they labored with their minds. Let's be that people that are laboring with our minds to display his image in our countenance, because we love him with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, and we love each other. And when somebody comes that hasn't been here and they're with us for a while, they can say, see how they love one another. Because if that is the greatest thing that we have, that we keep those commandments that Jesus taught, that we don't judge, that we turn the other cheek, that we love them that hate us and pray for them to despitefully use us, and we know those things that he taught, and they're written on the fleshy tables of our heart, that his word purifies us, and we make ourselves ready, that we are the bride, the Lamb's wife, and we can return and be in his presence. Allow me to speculate here at the end, if you would. There's a lot of things that we don't have. If you took the Bible and the Book of Mormon and put them together and wanted to find specific outline and ideas of chapter and verse where it explained and talked about exactly what the hereafter is going to be like, it wouldn't be very much. I've often wonder why. You know, when Joseph found this record, we know that there was another part that had a ring that he couldn't get in. It contained a revelation of this life, of this existence, from the beginning to the end. And he wasn't allowed to look into that and see it. What do you think it says in there? In Revelations, it talks about a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against a dragon. And it speaks about his tail drawing a third of the hosts of heaven with him. And I've heard people argue, well, it's the third of us is the ones that are down here. And some people say it's the demons. And, you know, we've always had these different ideas about things, and we can get into things and look about things and even get into arguments about it and not like it because he thinks this way and I think that way, and it makes no difference. There is something that makes a difference. It's Isaiah 8:20. It says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them. And that law and that testimony, I've heard that talked about a lot of things about it, but you know what the most powerful thing to me it is a testimony of who Jesus was and what he did for us at the cross. And the law is the words that he spoke written on my heart. Those two things together have the power to transform my kid from who he was born to the image of the Son of God. Nothing else. A lot of those things don't make any difference. And that's why it's so important. We have so much written about why we're here and what we're supposed to be doing. God doesn't really want us to care about what happened before, what happened if we did exist before, if there was a war in heaven, if we were all there. But let me just speculate for a minute. I'm not saying that this is the way it is, but let's just take for granted for an instance here that we existed before we were here. If you want to turn with me, I'm going to read something out of Isaiah chapter 65 here. In verse 17, it says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." Then what in the world is it all for? How many times have you heard somebody say, well, you know, are we going to know so-and-so in heaven? Or, you know, what if they don't make it? Or what's going to go on? And we you know, I know we as a ministry sometimes struggle to answer some of these questions. The reason why we struggle to answer them is because there's nothing really written to say exactly what it is that they want to know about. And so, you know what? Probably worthless to ask a question. It's probably more important to just keep your mind on the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Because let's say for a minute, in speculating, so I don't want anybody to say, well, you know, Mike, he's off the deep end over here because he thinks like this and everything, because I don't know if it's like this or not. But just for the sake of wondering here for a minute, for a good reason, what if we did exist before? And we don't remember. Just like we're not going to remember, the former's going to pass away and it's not going to come into our mind. We're living that right now. Let's say we did exist there. And let's say we were in a place that was perfect and wonderful, more than you have any idea. And let's say your mind and your heart were so pure and so clean that we didn't even speak with our mouth, that there was a telepathy, because I could see completely into every recess of your thought process. What if that had happened right now? What if all at once everybody in the whole world could read each other's mind? I'd venture to say it'd be total, complete chaos. Because I knew Trevor liked Case better than he did Caterpillar. And he never really told me. You know, that's just a small thing. We could get into different things that would happen, and that all of a sudden you would look in somebody's eyes and you would know exactly what they thought about you, how you dressed, what they did or didn't like about you, and everything we could completely understand. What a nightmare it would be. And you know why it would be a nightmare? It's because we don't have a pure heart. It's because we still have a corrupt mind. And that's what Jesus spent so much time talking to us about. And let's go back to that speculation of being in an existence before where there was never any such thing heard as a lie. Nobody knew what a lie was. Nobody knew what a secret was. We had never experienced it. It had never come into our mind and to our psyche. There was never any understanding of it. It was total, complete. We could see right into who each other, who we were. There was perfect love all along, and all of a sudden this joker comes along. And he says, how come you can't be like God? What's to keep you from ascending above the throne of God? I mean, look at me. I'm the most beautiful creature that was ever created. I've got all this light and everything, but as far as I can go. How'd you like to be like me? But even when you get there, you can't go any higher. It's not fair. I never even thought. I don't even understand. It never entered my mind. Never even come into. And so he keeps on going. He keeps asking these things. And he walks around to each one. And he keeps asking, saying, why? Why does God have to be the greatest? Why can't we ascend above the throne of God? Why can't we be like the Most High? Trevor says to me, well, I never heard any of this. And he says, keep it a secret. Let's just let it be between you and me, Trevor. And so he goes about this business. And he says, matter of fact, if somebody asks you if you've been talking to me, you tell them no. Trevor says, tell them no. See, never had thought about telling a lie before. And so this guy goes about spreading all these things. And then one day, the jig's up. The father comes on the scene, and he says, I know what's been happening. And just like at the bottom of the mountain when Moses came down and the children of Israel had done those things wrong that they had done, he separates people. He says, everybody that's for the golden calf, go stand over on this side, and everybody that go stand on this side over here. And God says, all you that have learned these things, I'm going to put you in a place that you're never going to remember what was spoken. You're never going to remember what was happening, but there is in you the seed of question. So I'm not going to tell you what you have to do. I'm going to let you make your own decision. And I'm going to give you the chance in this existence that you're going to go to be displayed who you are. I'm going to give you a chance to escape this corruption. And so now, here we are. With the Father sending the Son saying, listen, your heart has got to change. I want you to be able to look into your heart and be ready for anybody in the world to look into your heart, to see into your mind, because there is nothing that is impure and unclean. I want you to be able to come back in my presence, and I'm going to make the way so much so I'm going to pay the price for your sin. So I'm speculating that. I have no idea if that's what really happened, but I do know this. Clean hands and a pure heart. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. Learning to worship our Father in heaven and keep His commandments and have His righteousness is the most important thing that there is, because it makes no difference what the story is of how we got here or when that book is opened that contains a revelation from the beginning to the end. One thing is for sure. Jesus said, my words will stand against you at the last day. What he spoke is our law. Let's keep it and love him with everything that we have. Let's be that church and that bride, that lamb's wife. Because did you ever think in the parable about the wedding invitation, that those people that were invited, a lot of times we think that they were the bride. They were just invited. I don't want to just watch the wedding feast. I want to be everything that he wanted. Everything that he hoped for when he breathed me into existence And I can't do it without him. I can't hope to achieve anything without the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. So let's together, as the body of Christ, hunger and thirst after that righteousness. So when that time comes, we will be that church of the Lamb of God. He will be glad that we have his name because we love him and we keep his commandments. Thank you.